Well, when a child is born with a disability or acquires a disability, it forces the family to rethink its priorities, and never more so than in remote country communities where professional help can be almost non-existent. Vicky Happ knows what it's like. She's one of 78 case studies in a new report on rural families caring for a child with a disability. Vicky, welcome to Bush Telegraph.
Hello.
Reggie's your son. What kind of character is Reggie?
He has a devilish sense of humour and an infectious smile, and he also has Down syndrome.
How old is he?
He is 12.
Okay, we've got a picture up of Reggie on our Facebook page. He's in a purple shirt with a bow tie on and some braces on. Where was he off to that day?
That was his Year 6 farewell last year.
Okay, so that's not his everyday outfit.
No, not usually.
What sort of services does he need?
At the moment, he sort of needs speech therapy, some psychological needs as well. It's what we can do at the moment. And there's always a need, but you've got to be able to do what you can handle at the time.
What dictates what you can handle?
I'm basically working as a single parent with Reggie, so it has to be up to my level of capability. What I'm able to handle at the moment, not only his need.
Why are you say basically working as a single parent? What do you mean?
I decided that it was in Reggie's best interest if I moved from the family home, which was out northwest of Dubbo, to a more city centre, which is now Bathurst. And I had to give up a lot of things for that. And gained a few things as well.
What did you give up?
I more or less put my marriage on hold. I financially had to forego a lot of things. I mean, our future is going to be a bit limited because we are running two households, one in Canamble and one here in Bathurst.
So you're still married?
Yes, but we just had to put that on hold for a while.
You live apart?
Yes.
Separated for the good of Reggie, I guess.
Yes.
Any other kids?
I have a 21-year-old who's doing a distance university degree as well as working full-time, and he lives in Canamble.
Right. So how much of him do you see?
Not very much. We only get to go back to Canamble during the school holidays, and they, because both of them are working, can't see us very often either. So,
gee, it's a big sacrifice to make, isn't it? Why did you decide that moving to Bathurst was really in Reggie's best interest?
I decided that where we were living was limiting his potential. We had lots of problems that were stacked against us. If there had just been one or two, we would have been able to cope with that, but we just had so many things stacked against us that I felt we had the need to move so he could get a better life.
What was stacked against you? What were the problems?
I had problems with access to therapy for him. It was very inconsistent. I was fighting with the Department of Education. I had limited social circle to choose from for him, for friends and for social activities. And a few other things stacked as well.
But how do you go about balancing these competing interests, if you want, what you've decided is best for Reggie with what is really the loss of your family and friends for quite a while?
I actually sat down and wrote a list, the pros and cons list, and the pros outweighed the cons. I figure no child is born deserving half a life. You give them as much as you possibly can as a parent. In our situation, my older son was just about ready to leave home, and so he didn't really need me anymore. And my husband was working away from the home anyway, so I figured Reggie needed me more than anybody else.
Yeah. Even writing the list, though, you must have agonised over the decision.
Oh, definitely. You never know. My husband didn't necessarily agree with my decision, so I wasn't quite sure how that was going to pan out in the long run.
Did you really lose something, though, when you left? And I'm thinking of the local community attitude towards Reggie, when you're in a small place, is there a greater understanding of what a family might be going through?
There can be. There hadn't been very many children born with our particular disability for many years. I had known an adult gentleman with Down syndrome and his mother, and then there was one other family who were born just before Reggie. But no, there just wasn't many people who knew exactly what we were going through. There is a community sense in a little place like that, but there isn't much in the way of support, respite, and you just can't get the services you need.
Yeah, so that sense of community you get in a smaller place, I guess it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? In some ways there can be greater understanding, but then you could also, in your case, end up a little more isolated because of the lack of diversity in a
well,
small town.
Definitely, and I think it depends a lot on the child's disability. I think kids with physical disability are often more accepted than ones with intellectual disability. But, you know, it's a small town. Not much has changed for a long time. People haven't experienced the wider world.
So why Bathurst? That's not the closest big regional centre to you, to where you were, to Coonamble.
I literally closed my eyes and stuck my finger on a map. And as long as it was between where I was and Sydney, I didn't care. I only knew one person who lived here. And that's that.
That was it?
That was it.
Did you rule out Sydney, or was that an option?
I'm not a metropolitan girl. I'd find a small little city, I'd be happy.
Wow, when you think of people, you know, pulling out a map and randomly pointing at a destination, it's normally about some exciting holiday they're planning, isn't it? You know, when you're young and reckless, not when you're...
Well, I did do a little bit of research after I found the spot, but yes, that's basically it. I only had the memory of Year 6 history to go on to know Bathurst.
That was it?
That was it.
It's not that far away.
Well, it is when you live in Coonamble.
Yeah, I guess. What I said 4 hours. Would that be about right?
Yeah, depending on how fast you're driving.
Yeah. Stay with us, Vicky. Vicky Happ is Reggie's mum, amongst other things, and Vicky moved from Coonamble to Bathurst so that her son Reggie, who's living with Down syndrome, could have access to the services he needs, even though that meant Vicky leaving behind her husband and her 21-year-old son. So tough choice, isn't it? The reason we've been chatting to Vicky is because there's been a study just released into families in Western New South Wales facing this kind of decision. Do you stay with your family or friends, or do you relocate to a regional centre or a metropolitan centre because your child's disability demands certain services? Dr. Angela Drew is with me, who's part of this study. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Were you inundated with families like Vicky who had a similar story to tell?
We certainly had no shortage of participants when we started the study and found that people had, their own particular story to tell, and some people made decisions one way and some people made decisions the other way, to stay or to leave. So I guess it really did come down to people's individual circumstances, as Vicky's described, they were weighing up a whole range of things in making that decision.
So packing up and moving to a bigger town, clearly not for everybody.
No.
Those that chose to move, how did they pick the town? I'm assuming here Vicky's approach is not the conventional one.
Good question. I think sometimes people did move to another place where they had a connection. So they might have had an extended family or friends in those places. And I think people did look at what services might be available for them. As Vicky said, access to Sydney is actually quite a big thing for many people, because that's where the big hospitals are, with a lot of specialists, particularly if you have a child with a disability that needs really specialist input, then access to Sydney can be quite important, but without wanting to live in Sydney.
Yeah. Those people that chose to relocate, how did they deal with losing that support network of long-term friends and family?
I think it is a really difficult thing for people. Again, people coped with it in different ways. But sometimes in those bigger centres too, there are support groups that are not available in smaller rural towns. So people can make a link with, for Vicky, someone like Vicky, maybe some other Down syndrome carer group or something like that, where you're able to make connections with people who are going through similar things as you are.
You've just really got to stop and think about it for a moment, don't you, to realise the magnitude of the the choice that this is for people. Not only do they, in many cases, have a new child, they learn this child has a disability that needs certain services and is probably going to change the way they live the rest of their life. And they move away from friends and family at that point in time. It's got to be such a hard thing to do.
Absolutely.
Mm. Do you get a sense that in some small towns there is a greater acceptance of people that are living with a disability?
Well, look, we certainly heard from people who, in some cases, made the choice to move to smaller places and in other places made the decision to stay where they were despite knowing that their child was going to need additional services. And for those people, they told us that it was about that sense of community, that they felt that the community would rally around them, and people gave us examples of where that had happened, where, you know, very small communities raised not inconsiderable sums of money to help people to modify their houses, to buy a piece of equipment, those sorts of things.
So we'd be talking, what, tens of thousands of dollars that were raised locally?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, working bees to help people put in wraps and do things like that, which, you know, you may get in a city community as well. But for these people, it was about, you know, the strength of that local community.
Mm, okay. And that's just going to differ, isn't it, from place to place?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess why this is particularly interesting, this study and Vicky's example, is because The National Disability Insurance Scheme is a model that's supposed to empower families to potentially employ local people as therapists so that they can have the services in their town, so they don't have to make this choice. Is that something you think can work in a small town?
Well, very small communities will never support full-time therapists. I mean, that's the reality of it. Employing local people in therapy assistant type of roles is much more doable. And that therapy assistant would then be supported and work with a therapist who might be located in Dubbo or could be located in Sydney and connects with them via technology.
Mm-hmm. So there still will be instances where people have to relocate. They're just not, they just don't have any other option. But what there could also be this compromise, if you like, where the travel required is lessened, the demands are lessened.
That's right. I mean, I think people will still make those individual choices, as you say, but I guess our work is more about the idea of giving people some options where we really look at what is available within local communities, and we know that in rural communities there is a wealth of resources, human and otherwise, that are available that can be mobilised, if you like, and if there is the ability to employ and train and support local people to work in this type of therapy assistant role, then often that will be a very good backup for people.
Mm. Vicky, in your case, if you were planning for Reggie's earlier years when the NDIS was, say, in place, I know it's being trialled at the moment, but if you were given this, say, as it's termed, a bucket of money to spend locally how you deemed best, would you have been able to stay in Coonamble?
Quite possibly I could have, yes.
What would you have done? How would you have tried to offer Reggie what he needed?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think anyone else is yet of how the NDIS is going to look like, what will be covered and what will be paid for. But it's even down to respite services and things like that would have helped me to be able to get my head around what was going on, be able to pay for somebody to do therapy with him occasionally, even like a play buddy sort of situation where he could be taken to a childcare situation or something to play with other kids. I don't know.
Is there some of the therapy that you've had to do the sessions yourself that perhaps you could have paid a person with a basic level of training to help you?
Definitely. I mean, I'm just a parent. I don't know anything apart from I know my child and that's it. A therapist gives you a program and demonstrates it a couple of times and then you go away and have to do it. It's more the mind games that you are responsible for this kid and it's up to you. There's no one else to back you up. That's a lot of my problem.
Yeah. Vicky, what do you think you'll do? Will you move back to Coonamble?
I don't know at this point. I love where we are now. If I had a choice, I wouldn't go back, but that's not because I didn't enjoy the people. Just there's more activities available in a larger centre. Sporting activities. Reggie goes temping bowling once a week and swimming once a week. He's got two best friends the same age with Down syndrome. We just didn't have that where we were.
So the idea of, I guess, moving Reggie away from that would be difficult.
I think that'd rip my heart out if it didn't rip his out. You want to have friends that understand you. In a small centre like that, there's very few people the same as you if you have a disability. Mm. You have to cope with the normal world more than you have the choice to be amongst either people with disabilities or in the normal world. We have more choice here in Bathurst.
Reggie's up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/bushtelegraph, and we're asking people how they would make this decision, particularly people that have had the experience of having to toss up whether they stay in their local town with their established family and friends or move to somewhere like Bathurst, like Vicky did with Reggie, so that Reggie can have more friends, the ability to swim, go temping bowling, the sort of things that he loves. Vicky, good luck with things.
Thank you
for sharing your story today. Really, really interesting.
Thank you very much.
That's Vicky Happ, who is involved, one of the co-authors in this study, I should say, actually, also the mum of Reggie. It was a study of 78 case studies into rural families caring for a child with a disability. And Dr. Angela Drew, thanks for joining us today as well. Appreciate it. Angela's from the Faculty of Health Sciences at the University of Sydney.